What if I told you you could be anywhere you want to be in just 3 years? It's true. By staying hyper-focused on your goals and purpose, you can make your vision a reality in just a few short years or even sooner. The trick is, you have to build the routine that will support you in getting there. The good news, we've already done the hard part for you. We created a free 5-minute morning routine tailored specifically to you. It's delivered straight to your inbox each morning, is designed to help you supercharge your mornings with clarity, focus, and inspiration. By committing to this 5-minute routine daily, you'll create total clarity on your purpose and goals, inspiration to help you build a lasting habit, and the life that you want in just 3 years. The best part, this tool is totally free. No strings attached, just valuable resources to help your inner and outer growth. So if you're looking for a short, easy morning routine that will help you, one, stay laser focused on your vision you have for your life, and two, help you make progress towards that vision every single day, head to adamhergenrother.com/future or visit the link in the show notes to create your future self today. I'm Adam Hergenrother, and this is Business Meets Spirituality. We believe in personal growth through business success. Today, Hallie and I are going to get into a wonderful conversation. And I always love the ones where we can't really prep too much for these things. It's part of it too, is that like there's an inspiration that comes. Actually, I guess the prepping comes because I actually journaled about this episode. So like I did the prep, I just didn't share it with you.
Yeah. All I did was look up the definition.
Yes, exactly.
So that I could add that to this conversation.
You know, somebody asked me the other day, they're like, you know, what does spirit mean to you? And this isn't the point of the conversation, it's kind of an interesting thing. And I think it's important, like spirituality in general. And we've said this before, but as a reminder to people listening, the spirituality, there's a whole bunch of different definitions of this. I just say the kind of the one that I reference inside, like kind of like as it means to me, and this may help you or help anybody listening, is just that I'm more concerned with how my inner experience is than I am about the outer experience. And so like, that's really kind of the spirituality part of life. Like when you talk about, you know, business meets spirituality, is like business is happening, life is happening, and it creates these opportunities to work on yourself, because business creates these things, these challenges that you wouldn't necessarily want to subscribe to, that force you, if you're willing to get rid of the part of you that's not okay with the challenges, or getting to a point where you can accept the challenges in life so you can actually freely come through and actually experience life. So that spirituality kind of conversation is more about because look, the quality of your life is determined by the quality of your inner experience. I used to say that the quality of your life is determined by the quality of questions you ask, which there's a deeper level to this. I think that like, you didn't have
but to, it is the questions that you ask yourself, which is that self-inquiry, which is the concern for inner world.
I think that's true. And I think there's a deeper layer. And I think, I think you don't even have to ask yourself questions and you can release those things. And that actually brings a better inner experience. So the foundational point of spirituality is that I have this inner experience, and what I'm trying to do is work outside to make this inner experience not, be hit, not get disturbed. And I'm actually trying to get it the way I want it to. Instead of doing that, spirituality and that kind of definition just wakes up and you say, I'm much more concerned with understanding why I'm not just in that state, and then allowing everything else to happen outside, which we all agree. And nobody, I've never once said any time that the experiences outside don't feel different, right? If somebody screams at you, that is going to be a different experience. You may not like it. You may get angry. You may get mad, but it's like wading on water. It kind of goes, you feel the experience, and then you're back to your state. Like it's just, you're experiencing what you're experiencing, because everything has that vibrational code to it.
What was your answer to the spirit question?
Well, that was it. Like the spirit is the spirituality aspect. Like, yeah. Like what does it mean for spirituality?
And it's like, but what's spirit?
Well, spirit is who you are. She, Chakti, whatever you want to refer to.
I was just curious because someone asked you that question.
Yeah. Well, they said like, what does spirituality mean in that context? And the spirituality really is, I used to kind of say it the way of like, you know, it's about making something larger than yourself, which is kind of a way of defining it. But I think as you grow, like to me, spirituality in your what?
Sorry. No, I have like a million thoughts going on. No, I actually think that's actually not true. And that's what you're saying, is that it isn't actually about something Well, it depends on how you define what's bigger than yourself.
Exactly,
yeah,
right.
I think philanthropy and that's not spirituality. Bigger than yourself is actually, it's almost like a false way of saying it.
Not bigger than yourself. The way I used to say is spirituality is you're concerned with not just you. You're not concerned with the ego. You're concerned with something. I don't think it's accurate anymore. In the way that I used to say it, I just say like you're concerned with devoting yourself to something larger. And the word devotion may trigger somebody, but just you're concerned to like you have a different purpose other than satisfying your own needs. That's kind of how I looked at spirituality for a while. And
but
over
it's like
the years,
opposite.
It's kind of changed that. Yeah. And actually, exactly, you kind of go inward and go spirituality means I'm concerned with my inner state, right? So that you can then show up to give more to other things. So like, it's almost like you're saying it, but you're saying it as the surface level or like a medium level, right? If there's different levels, you're saying it kind of like a medium level that it's about doing something larger than yourself, because the more you become, the more you actually let go of the part of you so you can have that clear inner state, the more you actually serve and contribute to a larger group.
Of course.
So you actually get what the same thing that you're doing.
Right.
But just when you talk about business meets spirituality, or what is spirituality in terms of the context that I like to use it as, which is there's this whole inner experience, and that's way more of a, because look, the analogy you can use is that like how many times you've been with your family or friends, but you're having a personal issue going on and you're not there. Right? Like you're just, your inner experience
like half of our
sucks.
Conversations.
Well, like your inner experience is not good. And therefore the only thing you're concentrating on is your inner experience.
Right.
So if your inner experience is a pleasant experience, which is what people are trying to do, then that's what I just wake up and go, I'm not going to go work at the world to have this pleasurable experience. I'm going to go work inwardly and do the work there. The same tenacity that it takes to go build a business is the same tenacity I'm going to bring to working on my inner world, which is really surrender, letting go, acceptance, removing the samskaras, all the things we've talked about. Mm-hmm. So you can have this wonderful natural state of this inner experience. And then you're able to freely and clearly handle the challenges that are actually going to unfold in life. And then you're not going after life to turn you on, which I admit, like when you get what you want, you know what it really is? I was actually just the other day, I always use myself as this experiment to try to then bring into here. Like I got something that I wanted and I instantly felt good about it. And so instead of just basking it, I go, I need to let this go. And what came to me was when I let that feeling go of like, I didn't like the fact that I got turned on or I felt good by getting what I want. Now, I'm not saying in a way I'm trying to get negative feelings. I'm just saying I know that because when I got what I wanted, it temporarily turned me on because I got what I wanted. I go, well, I know this feeling is going to end. And then instantly, if I'm following this same path in a moment or a day or whatever it is, all of a sudden it's going to go in there. We need to go do this. And then I'm just hooked on this pattern. And so I was really just trying to watch this. And
so
what
did you get rid of the feeling, or did you get rid of the, I don't know what the thing is that you got, but did you
let go of that thing? Yeah. All I did is I let go of why I was feeling the way it was. And I let the whole experience pass through me.
But you didn't give the thing back.
No, I
didn't.
It wasn't the thing. It was just, the outcome, the outside world has nothing to do with the inside world. So I let the experience come in fully instead of trying to hold on to it and point to why I was turned on. Like I just kind of let the whole experience. And what I saw was, it was almost like, that's what I can describe. It's almost like the, when you get your desire, and I'll use that word, or get what you want, or your preference happens, it's almost like there is in that moment, there's a relinquishing of the desire. And so everything kind of settles and you're actually able to experience yourself. And in that, then all of a sudden there's a new desire that comes in there. And now you're focused on the new desire or the new preference or trying to avoid something you don't want to get. And that's what triggers back in. But that's why.
But not always. Sometimes can't you just.
I don't think there's anybody that's ever listening to this right now that after they've got something, the mind hasn't told them to go get something else.
I feel like I could argue that.
I would love to hear that argument, because the minute you go get that job that you wanted or the raise that you wanted, I'm not saying specifically you.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
I'm trying to think of the last thing I got
wanted. It may not be, or maybe a feeling that you want, or maybe you want to avoid something, but then you're off to doing something else. It had to be something else that you needed to do within a really short period of time.
I don't know about that.
Well, you took a vacation, right?
Yes.
And then how quickly did you want to take another one?
Well, I didn't.
How quickly did you want to plan one?
Not really.
Well, I don't know.
I was more like excited to go home.
Yes. Well, then like,
Is that the same thing?
That's exactly right. Like you go take a vacation and then you wanted to come home
for
your experience.
Okay. I get what you're saying, but
like, because it's, that's what people are paying attention. It's almost like the desire, and I appreciate you asking that. Like, it's almost like the minute you get what you want. And again, I'm using it as larger things.
Get what you want. Like, I enjoy that.
You should. Nobody's saying not enjoying it.
I'm not necessarily going on to the next thing.
Well, I think you are.
Right. Maybe just not as quickly as you think everyone does.
I think you are in a way that you're just, it's a shapeshifter. So it may not be in the same pain. So if you get something in business, then you may go try to do something work-wise or in terms of like your personal life. Or if you get something in your personal life, you may go focus on the work or something along those lines. So I think there's this natural, like when people naturally, if you can point to something why you feel good, that'll go away. Maybe it's another way of saying it.
Give me an example of that.
So like you trying to get through a particular situation in your, or like a conversation, like just a simple conversation. You have to have a conversation with somebody that's maybe unpleasant.
Okay.
And there's some anxiety that builds up around that conversation.
Yes.
Then when you have the conversation, you feel relieved.
Right.
But how long does that relief actually feel for? And then you're
5 minutes.
Yeah. And then you're on to something else. That,
right, but I'm not on to go get something else. I'm just on to.
I think you're thinking of getting.
Thing.
I think you're on to getting something that thinking that getting something is a material item. I'm not saying.
Or feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Or some sort of security that's there.
Yeah. All right.
Well, no, like it's like the minute, because there will be something that you, that like literally, if you just pay attention to this enough, that's all I guess the question I would ask is, the more you pay attention to this, the more you can literally start to see how this entire process, and it is a process, unfolds. The minute you get something that you wanted to, again, it could be a small thing like, hey, you got to work early, you didn't get stuck in traffic. It's like, then you get home and there's something else that shows up, and it's the simplest of things.
Isn't that just life?
Yes, but it depends on how you're experiencing the life. That was my point, right? It's like when you're doing that and you're being up and down with that, like, oh, I really need to avoid this, or like, I need to go make sure I get this thing, or I need to go make sure I'm exercising.
So maybe I don't have as much energy around all those things, which is why I'm not understanding what you're saying. Well, here's an example. So I went shopping last night because I'm getting ready to go on a vacation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I needed to buy some stuff for the trip. I got what I needed and wanted and bought Bill some stuff. And then you're saying, then what do I do?
Well, no, then from there, then it's like, okay, that was like, there's nothing wrong with doing any of that stuff.
Yeah, I know.
But like, and I'm not even saying that even turned you on, right? It may or may not have.
Didn't.
I don't even think you really like shopping though.
Not really.
So like, it's like, that's just like, you're kind of going through, like there's mechanical things that you're doing in life.
Yeah, I guess I don't quite.
Well, just think about times that you've had a stress or something that you're trying to go after, or any of those type of things in people's lives. Like, again, it can be the simple, and stay with me if you haven't, because I like all the questions actually, because it helps me. But like, most people, like when something in their work or their personal life that they're able to check off the box, then they're on to something else, so they can remove that from their work or remove it instead of.
Maybe I just haven't experienced it in a while, because if I go back to like 10 years ago, like I wanted to buy a house. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So I bought a house, and then what you're saying is most people are like, okay, well now I need a
new
car.
Then you wanted to remodel it.
And I need to remodel. Well, I mean, 10 years later.
I'm just saying,
right?
Like,
it's a long time.
Yes. Yes.
Or like, now I need a dog.
Yes.
Now I need to get married.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's like, and
but
those
it's
are
the energy around it, because I didn't feel like they were needs. They were just like, that's like a next natural progression.
And that's a wonderful place to be in. I think there's these other needs that can trigger you specifically, or anybody that's listening, that, and everything's different. Yours has never, ever been around things though.
I know.
And that's why
it's
easy for you to go, well, they don't really do it, because just your nature is not about things. It's never has, right?
Yeah.
And those things feel mechanical to you, so there's not really an energy around there. But there's other things that mean more to you that can trigger you. And then you're like
success.
Yes. Or those, exactly. Or even certain
but
family.
But my definition is not material.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But like, or like the power that it brings you, or like family member conversations, any of those type of things can be triggers to different stuff that are there, right? For any of us.
Yeah,
and they're different for everybody.
Right.
Right. So like when people hear that, I think it's really important what you said, because it's not all about, like, some people have zero energy around money, zero energy about things. However, when it comes to a relationship,
right,
if all of a sudden that person's going to leave me, or they're going to do this, I'm not saying you have that conversation all the time, but there's an angst or something along this that they're always focused on.
Yeah.
And it's like when that doesn't happen or things are going well, you feel this relief. And so what I was seeing in it with this is that, like, okay, like I got this sense of kind of like, there was an, it wasn't a thing that I got. It was an email that I got. I said, okay, well, that's good. And I started seeing that, that opened me up more. I go, why wasn't I just feeling this anyways? Mm. Why wasn't I at this level, period? Like, it just, and right. what I watched was, it was like the minute like their mind or the ego got what it wanted, it was almost like there wasn't any energy going after any preference anymore for that moment. And so it just kind of opened up and allowed this natural state to flow, even flow more.
Let me see if this is what you're saying. Because okay. I kind of get what you're saying, but this is how I feel like after having a glass of wine. And I know that's like a substance that, you know, is obviously it's poisoning me. But that is, I know that, like, I feel that great feeling. I feel relaxed. Yeah. I feel open. I feel present and very, and often I think, why don't I feel, I always say I'm my best self after a glass of wine, but why can't I just be that best self all the time?
Exactly. Well, and most of that is because we hit for most of us. I would say 99.9% of us, we have what's like a masquerade, right? Where it's just like you have a mask that's built up of yourself, of all the experiences you've had, all the books that you've read, the people you've interacted with that are all unique to yours. And you created this mask that we call an ego.
Or identity.
An identity, whatever you want, a self-concept. The mask is almost easier. Like you have this mask that you put on. Mm-hmm. But there's two things to that mask. Number one is you believe you are the mask. Mm-hmm. And so then you are portraying that mask and holding that energy up to everybody else, including you, the one who's looking at the mask. You've like the example you say, like, if you look at your hand, ever since you, the consciousness, you are looking at the hand ever since you were born, you think you're a hand. That's all you're focused on is a hand. So like literally, I'm literally giving the example. If you woke up or like born and you didn't do anything but look at your hand the entire time, you've convinced yourself that you're your hand, right? You're just staring at it the entire time. It's all you're staring at. So that's the same thing that people do in their lives. They create this mask, right? It's like, I think one of I think it was Maharshi who said that they coined the phrase, the masquerade, right? Which is like this mask that you create, but there's two sides to that. The mask is literally something that you have created, but then you buy into it so much that you believe you are the mask. Like you would believe you're the hand if you stared at it the whole time. So then there's this general feeling that you have to portray this person outside, which versus going to back what you're saying, when you have a glass of wine, that loosens to the point where you don't have to pretend you're that mask anymore.
What's the second option?
Well, it's you buy into it, and then you have to go to the public and share and make sure the public persona sees you as this person who you think you are. So it's not only that you think you are that person, but you're also trying to go out there and make sure that the public sees you.
What if you actually aren't bought into it and you know it's not you, it on anyway?
Well, that's mindfulness though. Well, hold on. Let me answer that question. To answer your first part before you add the last couple sentences there, that is mindfulness. Awakening. We dub the word mindfulness is just realizing that I've had this mask on that I've bought into, that I think that I'm the CEO of a company, or that I think that I'm, you know, leading this podcast, or like you're doing it. And while you're doing the role, you are, but the minute you hang up the role, you don't walking around going, I'm CEO of a company, right? Mm-hmm. Like you just take it off. Like you just, so to go to your point, like there are times where you put your jacket on to play the role.
Right.
Like when you're a CEO or you're a chief of staff, you put the role on and that's mechanically you are that role and you have a function and responsibility to do that. Whether you're a parent, whether you're a CEO, whether you're a chief of staff, or whether you're, you know, anybody of any of the professions that thousands of people think that people could do, you put in that role, but that's not who you are. But then the problem is when you put this masquerade of like you buy into the fact that this is how you are presented. I have to dress a certain way. I am a certain way. I do these type of things, right? And all of a sudden, like this whole identity is created. You've now bought into this entire mask. So then everything you're doing is like, okay, well, if I don't get a certain amount of money, not only to buy material things, but to prove the certain status, then I don't think I can be effective chief of staff, right? Or whatever those things are. So you buy into these roles. Mm-hmm. You buy into the fact that that's who you are, even though like there's a part of you that knows, well, I know I'm not this person. Well, I know I'm not especially if you start to get a little advanced or you start to meditate, you can see on these things or have a little mindfulness in there, which most of our listeners do. And they start to realize, well, I know I'm not a real estate professional, right? I know that's a role that I play, but man, you're still addicted to it. Like, it's just like that's mindful that you start to become open to these things. And then what I was watching the process unfold was how the roles that I play in life, how they dictated, like that opened myself up more because it actually strengthened that mask. And so what I was saying is I let that whole strength into the mask resolve. So the mask just starts to dissolve itself. And then you can just truly experience the experience that's there. That help answer that?
Kind of. Yeah. I still really want you to answer the question that you started this entire podcast off with, because I still feel like you haven't answered the question, which is how, when somebody asked you, they didn't ask you, initially said they asked you
about spirit.
Yeah. How do you define, not, they didn't ask you about spirituality. Yeah, they asked you about spirit. And I would love to know how you actually define that.
Well, spirit is who you are. So I am that I am. And that is spirit. That is Shakti.
That's the you.
That is you. That is consciousness. Yeah. That is a soul. Like the same thing. That is you. Spirit is you. And there's, you can put 11 different names that are defined in all different religions or how people define what they are, but that's you. You are the, you can also consciousness. Consciousness is the same thing. You are it. So in spirit, like you are spirit, you are consciousness, you are the everything, right? Like you are the, you are it. That is what experience. And that's when, again, I'm not going to get into the use of the word God, but like when I think of God for myself, and this is just me, everyone has a different wonderful experience. And if it, look, I'm a, like people ask me about religion, I'm like, whatever works for you. Like if you're working on yourself and you're improving your inner state, that's awesome.
Well, just like Michael Singer will quote a Buddhist and he'll quote Jesus and he'll...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like...
Well, you can read the Bible, you can read the Kabbalah, you can read the Bhagavad Gita, and like all of them are kind of saying the same things, right? They just say it differently with different meanings because that's how we communicate, right? For all of those different ways of the communication.
What were you saying about God?
Well, I was just saying like in general, like how I see as God is like the source of consciousness. So when I use the word God, or like even, I don't really use it too often because it triggers people differently. But when I hear that word, it's not a person. It's not a thing. This is me. So everyone just, and again, like whatever works, just pre-qualify that there. I see that as consciousness because there is something that wants to experience itself.
But it's not, is it your consciousness or just consciousness with the greater word of consciousness?
It's, well, there's individual consciousness and there's consciousness of the whole.
Yeah.
They're the same thing. It's like,
you're part of the whole.
You're part of it. Like, look, like is a river part of an ocean?
Eventually.
Exactly. That's kind of this. Yeah. Is a wave part of the ocean? Yes, but it looks separate. Like raindrops are separate, but at the same time, they come back and do the, it's all part of the same source.
Right. So God is the source.
Yes. God is the, in my definition, the source. Right. I just use the word consciousness because it doesn't trigger people. Like when they hear that, like even me, when I say that word, God, like it still.
Well, you have like the, I'm sure you have a very
Christian definition
of what God is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I just, and that's why when I think about spirituality, I think about, I way more concerned about my inner state because this inner state gives us this opportunity to really explore and watch these processes unfold in life. And I don't mean the process outside. You're doing that too. That's why we talk about 200% life. Mm-hmm. There is this whole, and look, consciousness itself loves to create. Like that should be freeing. Like it loves to create, loves to build businesses. It loves to, you know, create art. It loves music. It loves, you know, poetry. It loves.
Well, I mean, if we're going on a Christian definition, I mean, what did God do?
Yeah, he created.
Yeah, yes, that was like the first thing he did was create.
Yes. So that's why it's like, it's not bad to build a business or make money. It's not bad to create a new system for the bus schedule, right? It's not like everyone's creating and everyone has these different natures, just like lions travel in packs. Leopards are single animals, right? They're alone. Like everyone has this different nature. So like humans have this different nature. Some like to contribute to just like, I heard this the other day is like some individuals, cause they're like, how come some people just feel the need to contribute in larger groups? And well, some of that's ego, right? That's the different concept, but we get pushed that aside for a second. Right. Some people is in there and like their contribution is actually just to be, I don't want to use the word simple, but just to be a simple contribution, which is like showing up conscious to whatever they're being asked to do. And then they're not going to go talk to 5,000 people or write a book or have music or play this. They're just showing up and that's their contribution to consciousness.
Well, and I just, I was going to say, like, if you just take a very simple example, which is some people will contribute, you know, a dollar in a, like one of those little like change things at the gas station. And like, that is their contribution. And that's what they're like, just their natural thing. I'm not saying that's a small contribution. I'm just saying that's like a,
that's part of their contribution.
Versus some people who go and create charities that raise $1 billion.
Yes.
Well, but that's what they're called to do. And I don't think one is better than the other. I think of any contribution that you're doing.
Well, think of it. Yeah. Think of it this way. Like if you're all part of all of it. Like, this kind of goes back to spirituality. Like, if you're all part of it, like this, and I'm like holding my hands out, like everyone can see what I'm doing right now in the audience. But like when you're part of this whole sea, this consciousness, you're all the same. Like, you just start to see it. Like, it just, so it doesn't matter what somebody else is doing necessarily. We've just, and I know people like, well, I get that. Like, people can like abstractly think that and they go that, but like, but I still have my life over here that I'm experiencing. Yes. But if it's the same consciousness experiencing what you see, so if you're back here looking to see the world and I'm back here looking to see the world and it's the same source looking back here to see it, it's, that's so individualized, except for the fact that it's just, it's the same thing, seeing everything. It's just, it's seeing it simultaneously. You just be happening because you can abstractly think, starting to see your own experiences, which feels separate and feels personal, but it's really the whole thing.
I actually really liked the example that Michael Singer gave in Living Untethered when, and I'm not going to remember the exact example, but it just made me realize like, man, everything really is connected from like the beginning of time. Remember he was saying like, if that one dinosaur hadn't stepped in that one spot, then, you know, this
great grandparents wouldn't have fell over in the
country
in the
wouldn't have been created. Exactly. And then this, your, these people wouldn't have met. And you're right. That one person who's putting a dollar in at like the gas station, where does that dollar go and is pooled together with other money? And then it helps this person. And then that person maybe goes and helps this person. And then like, you just never know.
Yes, that's exactly right. Which we're going to do a whole episode on free will. And I think that it's actually, that's the lead in question that we're going to do. So listen to next time about the question about free will, because is that really free? I don't, I'm going to answer it, but that's just going to leave you with that. Like that's, is that actually free will or not? So I want to actually, I want to get into it. We're not going to answer those questions right
well,
now.
Well, so what's the opposite of free? Like predestination, predestiny,
design or something.
Yeah. Predesign. Right. Right.
I want to tackle that whole conversation, but you know, for the essence
fate
of this,
free will,
yes, exactly. So we're going to get into that whole thing. Cause I love free will conversation right now, but the, so see the larger, like if you're again, like a, an individual wave feels when you go out there, like, oh, look at that wave right there. Like, so we use language to signify something that's separate, but at the same time, it's still all connected. So when you start to just have this more mindfulness, you just wake up and you realize I am one drop of consciousness. You want to say it that way. One raindrop. That's all part of the same thing. Yes, I have an individualized experience, but the one who's experiencing it is all the same. You're just having this small fraction of an experience that you think is yours because of your ego, right? Which is the individual experience you're having. But if you're all part of the same source, like, look, like if you have a Bunsen burner, like there's only, words can only take you so far until you experience this. And it just becomes so clear. If you have a Bunsen burner, you know, a Bunsen burner has one flame coming up and it's got all the little circles in there that like the flame come in. Would anybody say that those an individual flame? Yes and no. Yes and no, right? Like there's a deeper truth to all of it. Right? Like, so like somebody would say, well, that's, of course that's an individual flame. And you go, I agree with you, it's an individual flame, but I also agree with you it's that one. The deeper truth that it's one. So while you have a personal life for Hallie and this role that you have and the personality you have, I agree with you, it's an individual life that you're experiencing, but the deeper truth is you're still part of everything. And I hate the word saying that because it's such a clear, you're still part of the same source of the flame that it's coming from, just having an individual experience, but it's still the same source. You're not separate from the source ever. You're just having a separate experience, but the source is having all of the experiences simultaneously. It's experiencing, like, think of it in that term, like consciousness is having an experience of the earthworm down there. It's also experiencing a frog. It's experiencing Pluto, that used to be a planet port Pluto, right?
And you're just one part of all of that.
Yes, and you're just one part of all of that. And it's almost, then it's almost like it's created this earth here so that it can experience itself having this experience. And so that literally it is experiencing itself. So part of this is you just kind of wake up and
so we're in a giant Sims game.
Yeah. I mean, you could say it that way if you want to kind of abstractly think that way. It just, I mean, it's really what you're in is you're just, if consciousness created something, again, whatever it is, consciousness then loves creating, which is why, by the way, you as individuals, this really helped me in business. And I don't know if it's right or wrong, but like it helped me and maybe it helped you is I see is like consciousness created everything that we see, created. Look, I mean, go outside. There's 15 different people. Some are brown, some are white, some are tan, some have hair that are different, some of this, some are different shapes, right? All these different things. Just like all the animals look different. And just like all the trees are different. All the grass is different. You have wetlands, you've got highlands, you got rocks, you have all these. So it loves to create. And then of course, when we come down, what do we do? Love to create too. Mm-hmm. We're just not doing it with creating land. we're creating a business or creating a plan or creating a movie night or creating a movie, or like, we're just playing these fun roles because why not? And then it's just like, because look, none of that you bring. So it's like, it's so elegant. You're just down here. Like, it's like you're playing with like a sandbox. That's literally all it is. And you're in business, you're playing in business. And I get the experiences feel different. And that's the whole point. It's supposed to feel different, but you're just down here because consciousness created this world. And it's basically this huge sandbox. And it goes, go create rockets, go cruise around, go create cars, right? Go create social media. Like, people are just, they have this, because you know this, because it's not necessarily about money, right? Like, because people have plenty of money and they don't stop creating. In fact, at some point when people make enough money and maybe they want to move around there, they create books, right? And then they create, you know, a talk, or they just stop creating.
It is, and I know that you're kind of talking a little bit about money, but I just a more other example that it is funny what people are like, everyone does have that natural. I'm just thinking about our neighbors.
Yes.
There's us, and we do nothing to our house. Like, I'm hiring a landscaper, but basically that is not where we create, is in our home necessarily. And then, cause I'm creating online, or I'm creating in a different way. And then you look at our neighbor's house, and they had a gorgeous garden, then they built a deck, and now it's all now it's completely decorated for Halloween. In 2 months, it's going to be completely decorated for Christmas. And like, they very much like create in that way. And I don't know, I just feel like it's not about buying anything necessarily. It's like, they are driven to create, and we are very much driven to create more like a different way.
That's 100% example. You create in business, or you create in different ways. They create in different ways. It's not right or wrong.
No.
Just our world has put more credit, if you will.
Value,
I guess is what I'm going to say. We value your way of creating almost more than somebody else's way, but that's what we need to get away from.
I agree. Yeah.
Because like, it's like, because then all you're doing is you're just creating hierarchy.
Yes.
And like, you're just doing, because what happens, the person that wakes up and is going like, I actually don't want to create this whole thing. I just want to go create the best experience for my grandkids.
Right.
Like, I just want to
create a really great meal for my family.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you go, oh, that's not enough. That's not doing enough.
No. And you're not getting paid for it.
And you're not getting paid for it. Why would you do it?
Yeah. Why would you even do it?
So that lies the problem again with doing versus being. And when the more rooted you are in being, the more creative you are. Look, take any kid you've ever experienced and you give them a box at a certain age, and what do they do? Create.
Yeah.
They play and create with it. Mm-hmm. So why are we any different? Like, the kid's not going, like, until they reach a certain age when they start developing an ego, but in the beginning stages, they're not going, I watched my kids go through all of these stages, and they're like, they're creating, they're like, oh, that's so cool. And I'm looking at them like, that is not even, and then quickly my value goes in and goes, well, Sienna's is so much better than this one, but they like this one better. And it's like, I go, well, that's on my own judgment, my own value, what I've been taught almost. Instead of just, my youngest daughter looks at both of them and goes, forget about that one. That one's beautiful over here. Right. And it's because they're not going and looking at it as a way of like, oh, that one would make more money or be better. It's just mm-hmm. there. And so that's what we just need to, it doesn't mean that you can't go out there and get paid for your value. Nobody's saying that, right? And go do those things. It just gives you way more compassion to go out there and allow people to live authentically. And that whole authentic is what the conversation that we had today.
And being open and like not being non-judgmental.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Seeing the value in anything.
We'll go back to
everything.
Where we started this conversation, we'll end it here, is the inner experience. When you judge, you're having a negative inner experience.
Right.
And when you value something that you need to get, you're having a negative inner experience. Because when you go, oh, I want that one's better color, you're actually, nobody's going, oh, that's a better color. I feel so much better by making, like, no, that is an energy drain versus an energy openness. So the minute you start putting judgments on things, because when you say I value something more than the other, mm-hmm. like there's a judgment on this. And again, I'll even go right to the heart of this, which is why the majority of all the masters that I've ever seen, right? I'm talking about when I use the word master, they've just mastered mindfulness and spirituality. They've gotten really far back there. They literally would wake up and see the world as you would see your kid. They literally saw every human being the same love that they saw for their own child. I'm not there yet. I'll tell you that. Like, I'm still a work in progress and all that stuff. Cause I still wake up and go, a kid's really cool. I can really see that. But I'm like, I just love my kid more. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I values more to me, and I'm going, well, I need to let that go too. Like, anyways,
just have a question for you.
I think there's a difference between being responsible for somebody and providing the mechanical part of that and then loving them. But I'm going, why, what's this is now you're just getting my own thoughts here. Like, why is wrong with me loving somebody else's kid the same way I love my kid?
I don't know. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
Why can't we? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And then what you start to realize when you ask that self-inquiry question, these are the things that go through my head. I go, well, how come I can't love Hallie the same way I love my brother, right? Or something along those lines. And you go, your mind will want to come up with the answer.
Yeah.
But I'm going, that's why? Wouldn't your life be more wonderful inside to just wake up and have that? It doesn't mean you hang out with people. It doesn't mean you do the same things you're doing, but why can't you share that same feeling with them?
I do agree with that. And then the other side of my mind is just like, I don't even know how that's possible.
I know that's the self-inquiry question. And then you have to sit with it. Then you have to sit with it.
But then why do we also say everything matters, but not everything matters equally?
Well, that's a mechanical question when it comes to actually doing work. And that is 100% true.
Kind of, but we've used examples with kids before.
Yes, and that's why I'm saying I'm not there.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Like, 100%, yeah, I know you're going to go there. Thank you for asking. But when I say, like, everything matters, it does. It doesn't matter equally. That is 100% true.
Yeah.
That is in the mechanical, in the masters,
everything matters equally.
I think the way they share their love is equal.
Equal.
I don't think they would say that's not, they still,
maybe not their time.
Time is different.
Right.
Cause like Eckhart Tolle, and I'm not, he's there, like whatever it is you want to say he's there or not there. Like he still is like, why everything matters, but I talk to an audience of 2,000 instead of responding to people's emails cause I don't have time to do it.
Right.
So it's not like everything of course matters, just not equally in business. That is 100% true. So again, the roles that we play, remember this is the 200% life, 100% outer, 100% inner. I'm saying from 100% inner world, why can't you have that same experience, that same joy that you have for doing anything for anything?
I don't know. I mean, we've used kids in that as an example before, like your kids
because that's more than
kids that you don't know across the.
Exactly.
But they do matter.
Yes,
they just don't matter equally to you.
Yes. And I think part of that is because of the mechanical process associated with it, that you're solely responsible and you know that you're responsible for those kids, their well-being. Nobody else is. So like to a certain point.
Or is it because you love them and you don't necessarily love these other ones that
you don't
know?
I think it's both. Yeah. I think it's both because if I was given a child today, like just like saying, hey, like I'm like, if my brother died and I had to take his kids, I would feel the same way about their kids instantly. Because now all of a sudden, I am the sole provider, the responsible person until they become. And even when they get older, like you're
still. So that's interesting. It's like a responsibility.
Well, because there is a mechanical process to this, that like you have a responsibility to them because you, whether you planned or not planned to have kids, like they're there now and nobody else, they can't fend for themselves. It's actually the same thing in nature.
It doesn't mean you have to love them.
No, you don't. And there's plenty of people that don't. But it's not about love. To me, it's like, how do you love all of them? But like, yes, it's going to matter what I do with them more because nobody else is taking care of them.
Got it. You're talking about that piece.
That's why it's 200% life. Right? Yeah. It's like, I always go back to like, how is my inner experience starting this whole conversation about spirituality is like, how do you enjoy that experience more? And I believe fully that you would have a wonderful, more experience if you're actually able to just be that love, that thing and being able to share with different things. So again, that self-inquiry question. So just kind of go back to that thing is and to wrap up for today, which is just, what does spirituality mean to you? How does it like, how is your inner experience? And just in all the inquiry that Hallie asked, do this next time you get turned on, right? Just like watch, it's easy to do it when you get disturbed because then it's easy to let something go. But next time you feel really good about something, don't push it away. Don't be like, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this. Nobody's saying that. I'm just saying sit with it so you can let the experience come through and then feel the transmutation that happens from that process. Just start there. Hey everybody, before you leave today, Hallie and I wanted to thank everybody who has left us a review. It really does make a huge impact in helping us get this podcast into the hands of other conscious leaders. Here's a review from Scott.
Yeah, so Scott said, each time I listen, I find myself rethinking previously held beliefs. I am then left with a push to reframe my perspective on things related to my personal and business growth. This podcast does not serve to reinforce your already existing beliefs about personal growth. It inspires you to discover new paths and perspectives to live out the life you have with meaning and impact.
And thanks so much for leaving a review. And by the way, please let us know what you like about the podcast, what you would love to see more of by leaving us a review wherever you listen to our show.